Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, though, we know we'll have a general election here at some point in the next 6 months, and the government has said it's deeply concerned about the spread of disinformation during election campaigns, especially in the age of artificial intelligence. But is the media and our voters better prepared and more aware of how fake news spreads, and are politicians shaping up for new terrain in this election campaign? Well, joining me now for more on this is Dr. Eileen Cullity, Deputy Director at the DCU Institute for Media, Democracy and Society at DCU's School of Communications. Dr. Cullity, good morning to you.
Good morning.
So as we move closer to this general election, wherever it might be, do you think that we have the guardrails that we need to make sure that we don't have the type of misinformation during our campaign as we might have seen recently in the United States, for example?
Well, I think asking are we better prepared is a really good way to think about it, because in many ways we are than say during the 2020 election, because we now have an electoral commission, we have a new media commission, there's an EU framework for regulating online platforms. And then beyond those kind of regulatory areas, you know, there are more journalists and fact checkers covering this information. Media literacy is now embedded in strategies for education and libraries and cybersecurity and all kinds of things like that. So in that sense, we're definitely better prepared because structures are being established. But establishing structures takes a long time. So I wouldn't say that all of those structures are robust and ready to go and that we don't have to worry about disinformation at all going into this election. Like, those structures need to be tested and built up over time.
Mm-hmm. Now, you spoke about the Electoral Commission, but is it the case that parts of the Act around the Electoral Commission dealing with misinformation and disinformation, they're not through?
Yeah, so when the Electoral Commission was established, among its many duties, one was to look at online political advertising and one was to look at misinformation. And the powers it was due to have were actually quite unusual in the context of what electoral commissions in other countries do. Because in most countries, electoral commissions respond to misinformation or disinformation about the electoral process. So the kinds of things like that we heard from Trump and lots of others, claiming that, you know, something fraudulent was happening or that the way voting was being done was incorrect. That's what most countries do. Whereas in Ireland, they were due to have powers to respond to disinformation more generally, which would just be an enormous undertaking. So that's being revised, but it isn't in place yet. And then political advertising, you know, the way Ireland approaches that has to be in line with the EU. And the EU has set up rules around how platforms must provide information to the public about political advertising. Mm-hmm. So there's still stuff to be worked out there.
So even if all of that were done, if all of that work had been thoroughly set out, is it not in basic terms illegal to make false claims about an issue?
Exactly. And I think it's really important to remember that, that disinformation isn't illegal. And as we all know, there's a very long history of lies in political campaigning. So we shouldn't pretend or have unrealistic or even undemocratic expectations about what regulation can do. It cannot get rid of lies and disinformation. And it probably shouldn't aim to do that. What it should aim to do is minimise harm. And this is very much the EU approach. So it talks about how do we minimise harm to the public in all kinds of areas, including elections. So a lot of the emphasis is on establishing mechanisms, say, to report to platforms that they should take something down or they should review something is a piece of content in breach of their own rules, and if so, take it down. And then there's also a big emphasis on just educating the public through media literacy and things like that, but also encouraging politicians and political parties to campaign with integrity. And that might sound a bit slight, but, you know, they do set the tone. They do have an important influence on how campaigns go.
Mm-hmm. Just one of the strategies we know from past experience and certainly seeing it in other jurisdictions, you know, those who engage in circulating false claims tend to do it very late in a campaign, which makes it harder to address, doesn't it?
Exactly. And, you know, if your strategy is to put out false claims and interview voters, it makes sense to do it towards the end of the campaign, because that's when people pay the most attention. But it's also at a point when it's the most difficult for journalists to respond, because, say, whether it's a piece of AI or a deep fake or just a controversial claim, it takes time for a journalist to go and investigate that and to conclusively say, this is not true. And then in Ireland, we have the added context that broadcasters are not allowed to broadcast about the election in the final 24 hours. And that's a huge issue because RTE is, you know, one of the dominant platforms. So if there is something to be said, it should definitely be said on the national broadcaster.
But that moratorium, we know, is likely to change, isn't it?
It is, and you would hope that it would be in, ready for the election.
And coming back then to whose responsibility it is to deal with all of this, and you mentioned that politicians should campaign with integrity and journalists then, and there are more journalists carrying out fact checks. But is it unfair to place all of the responsibility on both of those groupings?
Well, I think because disinformation isn't illegal, what we need to do is that everybody in society has a role to play. And so I know it's a cliche, this idea of a whole of society approach, but really there's nobody has all the answers. No single sector can do enough. So journalists, and I think journalists in general, have made a lot of progress in being aware of disinformation and how to cover it. But if you look at things like the US presidential debate recently, where Donald Trump was making these crazy claims about immigrants eating dogs, and then loads of the headlines were just about immigrants eating dogs. Like, we know from research that you do not repeat false claims. You need to repeat accurate information. And I think journalists have a lot of work to do in how they just cover disinformation and things that are just blatantly false.
Mm-hmm. So re-reporting those comments is damaging in and of itself.
Yeah, and it's not that, of course, they have to report what something was said, but journalism had a tradition of just saying, you know, person Y said this, person X said that, and leaving it up to the reader to figure it out. Whereas you can instead say, you know, the headline, Donald Trump makes false claims about migrants, instead of Donald Trump says migrants eat dogs, which most people just scan headlines. So you're reinforcing this absurd and outrageous and racist claim.
Now, we spoke to Cara Hunter on this programme a couple of years ago, and she was someone people might remember. She was targeted with an extreme deep fake image. This was during the Stormont elections back in 2022. And we know that AI, artificial intelligence, is at a different place now than it was in the last general election here in Ireland in 2020. How concerned, Eileen, do you think we should be about the potential for AI to be used to spread false claims?
Well, it's interesting that at the beginning of this year, in this so-called global year of elections, there was huge concern about how AI might derail elections. And so far, that hasn't really been manifest. But that doesn't mean it won't. And I think with AI, it's a technology that is just going to be used, and it's about how it is used. So we saw some evidence in Ireland of during the local and European elections of some of the smaller micro kind of fringe parties using AI-generated images. But using AI to create images in itself, I don't think is necessarily wrong, no more than using Photoshop is wrong. It's when you're manipulating people, that's what's wrong. And in the case of, say, someone like Cara Hunter, where like just abusive imagery, like the most just abusive attack on a female candidate, and then derailing her campaign and forcing her to respond to that when she should have been out campaigning for votes. And I think more broadly, when we think about disinformation, that's false claims. But what we're seeing is just these attacks on the political process itself. You know, we saw that in Ireland during the June campaigns, people putting themselves forward for election and being intimidated and attacked. And in some ways, like that's even more concerning because it's putting people off.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and reduces the number of people who are willing to go forward for election. You cite the Welsh as having done something interesting. What's happening in Wales?
Well, yeah, the Welsh Parliament are looking at legislation that would make it an offence for a member to, I think the wording is, willfully mislead the Parliament or the public. And I think what's interesting there is that there's obviously big questions about how would that work. But no Parliament has ever suggested doing this before. The public in general in most countries don't have a huge amount of trust in politicians. So this effort to say, look, if we can show that you have very specifically lied in Parliament, we're going to force you to apologise and acknowledge that, I think is an interesting effort to try and restore some order to politics. Because if we continue down the line we are following the model of Trump in the US, or even the last Tory government in the UK, where lies is just normalised and to be accepted, it's really hard to see how we'll pull back to any kind of democratic standards.
I suppose the problem with that is it only applies to people who are elected to Parliament. But are you saying it may just set a standard at that level, which will trickle down?
I think so. And again, it's that idea of politicians do set the tone. I mean, they do have enormous influence on everything else. And if our elected representatives just don't care whether they say truth or lies, that just sets the tone for everything else. So we can see how it plays out in Wales and how exactly they will define it and implement it. But I think it is a very interesting direction.
Eileen, thank you very much. Dr. Eileen Colity from the School of Communications at DCU.